I think I might have said on a previous service that one of the ways we filled our family time together during the last few months has been playing board games. And one of these is a card-based game called Munchkin. And it's based around the idea of fighting monsters. Throughout the game, you try to collect fighting power and you hope that when you turn over a monster card, you've got enough power in your hand to beat it. If you win, you gain treasure cards which strengthen your hand and you go up a level. The first person to reach level 9 wins the game. If you haven't got enough power in your hand to overcome the monster, you can ask those that you're playing with to lend their strength to help you win the battle. Sometimes they help, and other times they throw in an additional monster, and that just makes the battle harder, and you usually end up losing levels. Now, the monsters in our game have wonderful made-up names like Lame Goblin, Flying Frogs, and then they get more difficult and horrible, the unspeakably awful, indescribable horror, and Plutonium Dragon. That's in the game. But in real life, the monsters we have to fight have names like ill health, or relationship troubles, or turmoil in your workplace or family. Monsters are called disappointment, rejection, fear and anxiety, guilt and shame, loneliness, bereavement, grief, sadness, brokenness, depression, lack of motivation, stress, or the COVID blues. We all battle monsters, and often they come in groups rather than one at a time. James calls our monsters trials of many kinds, and he tells us that their benefit to us is to strengthen us. He tells us that fighting monsters helps mature our faith, and these battles develop perseverance. For this reason, James says we should consider it a gift when we face monsters, because this is the best training ground for developing patience and endurance, or as the RSV version of the Bible puts it, it helps us develop steadfastness. Instead of troubles throwing us off track, we grow in our ability to display an unswerving constancy in the way we live out our faith. If we don't feel that we've got the strength or the experience or the tools or the gifts or the wisdom to fight the monsters in our lives, James says we can call on God, who gives generously to all and who won't think less of us for asking for help. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm honest, I don't look at the monsters in my life and say, yay, joy, what a great gift. If we're talking about gifts, I'd prefer chocolate or a new pair of shoes. But I have come to learn something really important about God, and it's this. He has never failed to show up when I've been in a fight. And so whilst I go through all the natural emotions associated with battling a monster, I know that no matter how bloody the battle gets, I will come through it because God is with me. In my small group recently, we did a spiritual gifts questionnaire together. It was made up of 60 statements, which we had to rate, giving 1 if the statement was least true for us, and 5 for what was most true, and so on. It helped us discover what our top spiritual gifts are. But the one standout statement for me in the whole of that questionnaire was this one. I believe God always has my back. Because this is what I've come to understand through facing the many monsters in my life. And I wonder today how you would rate that statement for yourself, with 1 being the least true and 5 being the most true for you. Would you go for 1 because you believe that God rarely has your back? Might you go for 3 because you think God sometimes has your back? Or would you go for 5, he always has your back? You see, this is a crucial question in the light of James's encouragement to us when we need to ask God for help with monsters. James says to us, don't question whether God will help. He says, believe and have faith. Have the faith that God always has your back. There's no lack when it comes to the wisdom and help that God offers us. His love and his commitment to us is sincere. But what about ours towards him? You see, when we ask, we need to be willing to respond wholeheartedly to his way of seeing things and his ambitions for our future. And I wonder if we don't sometimes keep the door open for an alternative option to the one that God is holding in front of us. And if we do, we're what James calls double-minded. We have a foot in more than one camp, God's and whatever other advice and guidance and help that might be out there. You see, I believe that some of the monsters we face are of our own making. We've never got to grips with our temper or our addiction or our bad habit. We choose not to deal with the characteristics which God could help us overcome. God's offer is there, but we say, no thanks. We say things like, well, it's just the way I am, or it's too painful to deal with the issues from my past, or it's not really doing too much harm. We ask God to clear up the mess that the monster has caused, but we don't really want to deal with the monster itself. And so we find ourselves constantly in practical and financial and emotional chaos. As James puts it, we're tossed around like waves in the wind. We say that God hasn't got our back, but the truth is we just don't want to jump onto the Jesus lifeboat called change. Other monsters we face are just plain evil. They come at us as a direct attack. They're called things like slavery and trafficking and terrorism and genocide. You know, as human beings, we're capable of doing terrible things to each other. These monsters are also called temptation, and we face so many of this type of attack. So God's wisdom is found in the Lord's Prayer when Jesus calls us to pray, deliver us from evil. He knows all about direct enemy attack because his ministry started with 40 days in the direct line of fire. The Apostle Peter tells us to be on guard because your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion sneaking around to find someone to attack. The Apostle Paul tells us, we're not fighting against humans, we're fighting against forces and authorities and against the rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. You know, I really hope you will do the prayer course in your small group or join us in a centrally run session. And if you do, I really hope you don't avoid the final session, which looks at spiritual warfare. Pete Gregg, who's written the course, reminds us that the enemy was defeated on the cross, and we hold on to this, but the enemy hasn't yet been destroyed. And so we're living between being saved and the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the day when he will return and there'll be no more monsters in our lives. And while we live in this in-between season, God's wisdom and help is found in Ephesians 6, where Paul says, let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong. Put on the armour that God gives so that you can defend yourself against the devil's tricks. Then when that evil day comes, you will be able to defend yourself. And when the battle is over, you will be standing firm. He continues, be ready. Let the truth be like a belt around your waist and let God's justice protect you like armour. Your desire is to tell the good news about peace. Sorry, your desire to tell the good news about peace should be like shoes on your feet. Let your faith be like a shield and you will be able to stop all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let God's saving power be like a helmet, and for a sword, use God's message that comes from the Spirit. Paul reminds us, put on the armour of God and remember, God has your back. Personally, I think one of the hardest monsters we face are those which blight our lives because we're living in a world which doesn't work the way it was designed to. Ill health, accidents, selfishness and greed are just some of the reasons why we face monsters. And the trouble is, the trouble they cause can be catastrophic for us. Just listen to the pain of someone who's grieving the loss of a loved one through death. Or someone talking about the pain of separation through a breakdown in relationship. Hear the fear in the voice of somebody experiencing financial ruin or the anxiety of not having a job. But even these excruciatingly painful monsters can strengthen our belief. They can deepen our faith. We can become steadfast in the way we live because God has our back. He reaches out and he offers us comfort. He offers us gentle love. He offers us compassion in those that he surrounds us with. He offers to bind up our broken hearts. He offers to heal. When facing damaged world monsters, the most power-filled battle cry is sometimes a whisper. I believe God always has my back. And whether the monster is of our own making, whether they're plain evil or a consequence of living in a broken world, God is with us. He has our back. But James explains that there's something of a tension between God's amazing love and forgiveness and his desire for us to mature and grow. You see, if he makes every path smooth and chases every monster away before it's even growled at us, our ability to show tenacity and resolve will be underdeveloped. If authentic faith is going to be our stamp on the world, we need to face our monsters, trusting that God has our back and push on through. This is how we develop confidence in God's promises. It's how we develop confidence in his power. And it's how we develop confidence in his presence in every situation we encounter. You know, one of the greatest witnesses to non-believers in the early days of the early church were watching martyrs approaching death. Not grimly, but they went to their death singing. That's mature faith showing its true colours, isn't it? And that's the kind of faith we're called to when we face monsters too. So this morning I want to invite you to name your monsters before God and ask him for the gift of faith to believe that he has your back. This morning I invite you to face your monsters trusting that God is fighting with you and he will give you what you need. This morning I invite you to embrace the opportunity for your faith to deepen and to grow.